Good morning, everyone. And a happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. Although my kids keep saying it's got to be Merry Christmas. Happy's just not right. But anyway, I'll leave that one up to you. Now, it's confession time. Who actually has a What Would Jesus Do bauble on their tree? It was the last thing you saw in the video. WWJD. No one. There you go. Maybe that should be a present for next year. Who knows? Pretty cool. All right. 49 years ago, I met my best friend. Now, I know what you're thinking. I don't look a day over 30. Or you're thinking, Sarah doesn't look a day over 30. What's going on here? My best friend is someone that I wasn't particularly conscious of in the first few years, but pretty much my earliest memory has him in it. And every day since then, I've been getting to know him better. You actually know my best friend. I assume you know a fair bit about him because you're here today celebrating his birthday. His name is Jesus. Sarah's high up there, I should point that out. That's very important. But anyway, today I want to talk about Jesus. And I want to ask you the question, this is my challenge, do you really know him? Do you really know him as he wants you to know him? And I'll be asking that question in a variety of ways, I guess, as we have a think about that today. If you went out in the street this morning and you asked five different people what they thought about Jesus, what was their opinion, you'd probably get five different answers. There's a lot of ideas out there. What's yours? More importantly, what's the truth? And can we actually know the truth? For some people, Jesus featured big at the Olympics this year because he's that giant statue overlooking Rio, Christ the Redeemer. For other people, Jesus is just that name that comes out of their mouth several times a day. It's not so much a swear word, it's just a habit. That's the word they say. For other people, he's make-believe. He's just another fairy tale. For others, he's that picture hanging on the wall in the church that they grew up in. And for others, he's that wise teacher that they hear quoted about every now and then. For others, well, he's the baby that's got something to do with Christmas. What's your opinion? For those who have given him their allegiance, he is personal. He is their saviour. He is their king. He is the one that matters. He's what gives purpose and meaning to life. Certainly we can say this. Out of the 70 billion people or so that have ever lived on this planet, he is absolutely unique. Some love him, some loathe him. Our calendar was divided around him. Even though he lived 2,000 years ago, he's still the most talked about person today. More has been written about him than any other human. And the book that we've got closest to being his biography, the Bible, is the most printed book ever by miles. And over a third of the world's population today bear his name, Christian. This is a guy that we want to know. This is a guy whom we're celebrating today. But how do we know? How do we find out? Let me actually broaden that question. How do we know about God? Because Jesus came to earth saying he was the Son of God. So how do we actually find out about God? And I'm going to say, if we leave that to ourselves, your guess is as good as mine. And that's why there's a million different opinions about God in this world that we live in. But quite frankly, I don't want to live my life based on a guess. So how can we actually know? Well, here's the thing. Logically, the only person that can give us clarity about the existence and the character of God is God. There's no other greater being. There's no one else that knows him better than himself. And whether you like it or not, it's true. Only God can tell us about God, and we can only know what he lets us know. And the amazing, wonderful news is that he has. That's one of the great reasons we celebrate Christmas, because God has let us know in a very personal way who he is and what he's like. He came into a world of people guessing, and he said, "Here I am." And he did it in the most surprising of ways. He entered our existence, our human existence, as a baby. We're going to have a couple of readings today, and so I think our first reading is Graham. So Graham's going to come out and read from Luke chapter 1.
You can find the readings for today in the handout that you've been given on the way in, if you want to follow along with me. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, to be born will be called the Son of God."
I'm sure you've heard that before. But I actually want you to stop for a minute and think just how extraordinary that is. Imagine the world full of millions of people. God Almighty wants to show himself to people. God, the Most High, who created all things, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful. And what does he do? He chooses to send his one and only Son into the world, not as ruler of the world, not into royalty, not into riches, but God sends his Son into the womb of a young virgin Israelite girl. You just can't make up stories like that. One of the reasons I love the Bible is it was either written by the biggest lunatic ever, and he's got billions and billions of people to believe him, or it's true. God acts in the most surprising of ways, and the Christmas story is extraordinarily surprising. Well, you know the story after that from the angel's announcement. Mary, a virgin, becomes pregnant, and in her ninth month, Mary and Joseph have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 3 or 4 days or so, and they've got to do that because the Roman government at the time has ordered a census. They want to count people, so Joseph has to go back to the place of his ancestry and register. Not surprisingly, when they get there, it's full of other people that have done the same thing and there's no room to stay. But Mary's pregnant, she's about to have a baby. So they find a stable, and it's at that stable where Jesus is born. Not royalty, not riches. Into poverty, the Son of God. There is an incredible announcement when Jesus is born. There's a fanfare and a choir of angels, but it's not an announcement to the royal palace. It's not an announcement to Bethlehem. It's an announcement, again, to the most unexpected of people, a few shepherds out in the hillside, not exactly the top of society. But they are the ones who then go to the stable, and they are the witnesses, along with Joseph and Mary, of really the greatest thing imaginable, the Almighty God becoming human and becoming the weakest of humans, becoming a baby. Sometime later, Jesus, Joseph and Mary are then visited by wise men who have been following a star. And they come and they also find Jesus in Bethlehem and they bow down and they worship him. Now, most of you here know that story, I'm guessing. That's the Christmas story. It's been told over and over, and it is quite extraordinary. But for most people, that's where the story ends. Most people are happy to leave Christ in that cradle on that very first Christmas, and that's it. That's why I enjoyed that video so much. Our naive friend just started putting the pieces together and realised that the baby Jesus is actually the same as the walk on water Jesus, the miracle Jesus. And he's the same as the cross Jesus. And he's the same as the live in our hearts Jesus. Jesus grew up. He lived, we believe, about 33 years, and his life was extraordinary. And in his life, and particularly in his death, he changed human history forever. Let's reflect on those things and let's not leave Jesus at Christmas this year. I'm going to have another reading a little later. But let me reflect on three truths that come out of the Christmas story. They're three wonderful things that we need to know. Number one, Christmas tells us there is an eternity. Christmas is the story of the eternal being coming into human history. He came from heaven to earth, the one who is timeless, the one who has no beginning and no end, the one who is above and beyond all things, came into our finite timeline. Christmas tells us there's an eternal God, and God created us to know him, so much so that he became one of us. And he has an eternal home for all of those who follow him and trust in him. The fact that there is an eternity, friends, I think is absolutely awesome, because this life, no matter how well you think your life is going at the moment, this life is still pretty fragile. This life has its share of pain. And this life, even if you live to an old age, it goes pretty quickly. I speak to our 90-year-old pluses at our early morning service, and to a T, they all say, boy, life's gone fast. Isn't it good? There is eternity, an eternity with a God that loves us. Second thing Christmas tells us, it tells us we're loved. God's Son left the throne of heaven and came to a small town in a small country, to a manger in a stable. And he did that because he loved us. That goes to our third point. Christmas tells us, why did he do it? Christmas tells us we needed help. The part of the Christmas story we didn't read is the angel appearing to Joseph. And the angel says to Joseph, you shall name this child Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus simply means the Lord saves. Christmas tells us we need help, and so God sent a saviour. This Christmas time is not the end of the story. It's really the start of the story in a way. Jesus grew up and his life was extraordinary. I invite you to pick up a Bible and to read it. We've got some free Bibles on the table as you leave, or Gospels, part of the biography of Jesus. Take one and read about his life. One thing you will discover is this. In all his life, Jesus never did wrong. That's hard to imagine. I get it wrong about every, I don't want to say, regularly, half an hour, I don't know, every 5 minutes. We get it wrong all the time in a whole bunch of ways. Jesus never did wrong. He was human. He got tired. He got hungry. He got weak. He was subject to ridicule and rejection. But in all his life, at every moment, he reflected God's image. At every point, he was perfectly good. That's what you'll find out about Jesus. So what? Why does that matter? Well, back to that idea. God sent his Son into the world to save people from their sins. And we needed someone who was perfect to do that for us. This really is how it works. Humans, Jesus, all humans, and the Bible tells us this, and I'm pretty sure our experience tells us this, all humans have ignored God. All humans have rebelled against God. All humans have said, I don't care. All humans have lived lives without regard or without reference to the one who gave them life and breath. The Bible calls that sin. It is real, and it is disastrous. It ends terribly. On the other hand, we have Jesus, perfect goodness. The Bible calls it righteousness, and it's only in him alone. And so his death on the cross was the death of a perfect, innocent man. And if you like, it was a substitution. This is how the Bible puts it, Romans 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you like, he received our guilt. It was all put on him. And we received his righteousness. Someone once called it the great swap. And that's a good way of thinking about it. That is what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so Christmas tells us there is an eternal God who loves us deeply and who sent his Son into the world because we needed saving. And on the cross, that's what he did. Let me give you a quote that you might hear a few times today on the news, hopefully. It's the Queen's Christmas message. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, but a saviour with the power to forgive. Thank you, Her Majesty. That's exactly right. But friends, I want to say that's not the end of the story. Most of you probably know that. I've just told you the Christmas story, the Easter story. Sometimes we stop there. We leave Jesus in the cradle. We leave Jesus on the cross. There is more to come. So we're going to have our next reading now. I'll go and get a cup of water while we do, and Tiana's going to read for us.
This reading's from Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Thanks, Tiana. We've had two readings that actually bookend Jesus' life. The first reading was the prophecy or the announcement about his birth to Mary. The second reading is Jesus' final words. I think people's final words are important, and his are incredibly important. There's a challenge in the words that we just read. I wonder if you missed it. We will get to it. But what does Jesus say? I think he says two things. First thing is, he is the one that has all authority. We ignore him at our peril. That authority has been given to him by God the Father. All authority means he's got authority over life and death. He has authority over eternity. He has authority over every human being. We need to get to know this man. The second thing he says is that he wants disciples. He wants followers. He wants people to follow and obey their Creator. He wants people to follow and obey their Saviour, the one who died for them. And in fact, this is what we were made for. The challenge is, what is your response to that? Because quite frankly, the words follow and the words obey are not exactly most people's favourite words, are they? But Jesus says it pretty clearly in his final words. Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Did you notice that even amongst the disciples gathered around Jesus, there was not a uniform response? Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Most of the disciples, and they'd been with Jesus probably about 3 years, they understood that he actually was God. He had come back from the dead. He had raised other people from the dead. Only God can do that. He was the one that had power and authority over the wind and the waves. He was the one who truly knew them and loved them. He was the one that deserved their worship and their allegiance. But some doubted. I want to ask you the question today, which of those two kinds of disciples are you? Are you still doubting? And that's an honest question only you can ask yourself. Why do we doubt? I think there's a whole bunch of reasons we doubt. We doubt because it's not every day someone is born of a virgin birth, is it? But if God is God, then miracles are not the exception, they're the norm. Sometimes we doubt because not every day someone gets raised from the dead. But if God is God, then he has all power, including over life and death. And in his plans, death is not final. But friends, ultimately, I want to say we doubt because deep down, no matter how extraordinary this man is, we don't want someone in authority over us. A few days before Jesus was crucified, he performed one of his greatest miracles. He raised a man, Lazarus, back to life who had been dead for 4 days. He did it by uttering a few words. There were a lot of people there to see it. You would imagine everyone would be amazed and would worship him because they have seen God in their presence. But there were two reactions. John 11:45, therefore many of the Jews saw what Jesus did and put their faith in him. When you meet God, that's the right response. But here's the other response, two verses later. The Jewish chief priest said, here is a man performing many miracles. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation. That's the response. Remember, you've just seen someone raised from the dead. That's the response that says, yeah, I believe in God, but no one's in charge of me. I'm not losing my authority. I'm it. I wonder if you're still holding back. These are the facts. Jesus made you. He died for you. He calls you to follow him. And he has been given all authority. Christians, very simply, are people who love and follow Jesus. We recognize these truths. We believe them. We know his forgiveness and mercy. And we happily give our allegiance to him. Because he is worth following, because he can be trusted completely, because he loves us deeply. I promise you, this man that I met 49 years ago and have been following ever since loves you more than you can ever know, and he will never leave you. And so I invite you to put your trust in him as well. Let me wrap it up. Today, we celebrate God coming into our world. It's an awesome thing to celebrate. It's just an amazing thing. It's a beautiful story. It's a surprising story. It's actually a very humbling story. And it's not the end of the story. The baby Jesus is the cross Jesus, is the rose again from the dead Jesus, is the follow me Jesus, is the Jesus who will one day return with all authority, is the Jesus who will judge the living and the dead, and is the Jesus who will take all those who know him to be with him forever in his eternal home. Friends, are you one of them? That's the challenge. Do you really know Jesus? Amen.